pray at this time. Heavenly Father, once again, it is our great honor and privilege to come before Your throne of grace to worship You, Lord. Lord, we want to give You honor and praise. You deserve it. Lord, as we consider the passage before us, as we consider prayer this morning, Lord, we thank You for the gift of prayer. We thank You for this communication with You. Lord, I pray that as we consider this message, may we learn to glorify You in every prayer that we make. Thank You, Lord, for what You will do. Please open our eyes that we would see Your wonderful truth this morning. Lord, there's areas of our lives that we may need to repent of, and I pray that You'd clearly show that to us as Your Holy Spirit boldly proclaims Your truth to our hearts. Lord, we all need encouragement. We trust You will give us that today as well. Help us as we listen to worship You. Help me, Lord, as I open my mouth and allow You to speak through me, that I would worship You in proclaiming Your truth. Lord, our worship continues now. Help us, O God. May You be high and lifted up. May You be magnified. I thank You, Lord, for what You will do. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I have to say, I love how God works.
Amen.
I love to see God's hand moving. And this week, as I'm preparing for this message, well, I wasn't preparing for this message. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please make it absolutely clear what Your message is for us this week. And as I started digging in, I said, Lord, I'm going to start and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to trust You that You're going to give clear direction as to where we go. Well, He directed, but not in 9 and 10. He directed in verse 8. Verse 8, "Herein is My Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be My disciples." I thought we were moving past the messages on prayer from this section. And although it's not, as it was not, obvious to me that this is a verse that really is speaking about prayer, the Lord has shown me otherwise. So consider with me, we have seen some reasons the Bible gives for fruitlessness in prayer, followed by two very specific reasons for fruitfulness in prayer. Those reasons that we looked at for the fruitfulness is found in John 15, verse 7. So our abiding in Christ and His Word abiding in us, we will be most fruitful in our prayer lives. The abiding in Christ is our dependence upon Christ, if you will. Specifically there, and His Word abiding in us is our devotion to Christ. And you bring that all together, and there's dependence and devotion in our abiding in Christ, and it comes through us getting to know Him through His Word and depending upon Him, devoting ourselves to Him moment by moment. So this past Sunday, we looked at some evidences of a hardened will and our need to surrender our will to the will of the Father. We looked at James chapter 4, we looked at Jesus as He surrendered His will in the garden to the Father, "Not my will, but thine be done." So today, let's continue to look into God's desire for His children to be fruitful in their prayer lives. He desires that we live lives characterized by answered prayer, consistent answered prayer. That's God's desire for us. Do we realize that? God wants us to enjoy lives of consistent answered prayer. That's His desire. So consider the statement with me as you see at the very top of your outline there. One of the greatest ways to glorify the Father is through a life of consistent answered prayer. One of the greatest ways to glorify the Father is through a life of consistent answered prayer. Let's look at that. Let's look at that. We have looked at the reasons for fruitlessness and fruitfulness in prayer. Now let's consider the results. We've looked at the reasons. Now let's look at the results. The results of our fruitfulness in prayer. What happens when we enjoy a life of consistent answered prayer? What happens? Very simply, God is honored and glorified. The results of fruitfulness in prayer, as we see here in John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, if you will, this is John Lashway version. Okay? Christ says here in this verse, through answered prayer, my Father is glorified, and as you keep on bearing much fruit, you shall prove to be my true disciples. You see that in your notes there. Consider this. We've been going through, we're looking at this illustration of the vine and the branches. And in the past, we've looked at the different baskets that are set out by different branches. When we consider as a branch, we move from the second basket, which is a basket of just fruit. As we move from the second basket to the third basket, from fruit to more fruit, it's when the husbandman prunes us with the cleansing power of God's Word. When we move from the third basket to the fourth basket it has much fruit in it. When we go from the third basket to the fourth basket, it's by choosing to abide in Christ where our lives are characterized by answered prayer. Choosing to abide in Christ. So a question for us. What happens when we enjoy a life of consistent answered prayer? The first result is that the Father is glorified. He sees the heart and he is honored in prayer. He is then glorified. He sees the heart of our prayer. He sees our hearts when we pray. When we pray and lift up his holy name to glorify him, he is glorified. All right. So again, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. A commentator writes these words. He says, fulfilled prayers bring glory to the Father because, like Jesus, his disciples are doing the Heavenly Father's will. Vincent, in his word studies, this really clued me in right here. This word herein, to start out verse 8. He says these words, this word herein commonly referred to what follows. When we read that, we look at, okay, herein, all right, so we're looking at what's ahead of it. So that's the common interpretation of it. My Father is glorified in this, namely that ye bear much fruit, which is true. But he says that it is better to look back to John 15, verse 7. In the perfect unity of will between the Son and the disciple, which results in the disciples obtaining whatever he asks, the Father is glorified. To this effect, we see John 14:13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The design of this glorification is that you may bear much fruit. So as I began to study this more, that herein draws in verse 7. So if you will, herein, by this answered prayer is my Father glorified. The Father is glorified in fruit production, is he not? The husbandman, the guy who owns the vineyard, he's glorified when luscious, gorgeous, huge grapes, many grapes are produced. When you got good tasting grapes, it brings glory to the husbandman. Well, we know that the husbandman is the Father, God the Father. The reason being that in these times of answered prayer, the believer is abiding in Christ and Christ's words are abiding in him. When he is glorified, when we're abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in us, there will be answered prayer. So therefore, God is greatly glorified when there is answered prayer consistently in the life of one of his followers. This reveals a harmony and unity between the Lord and his follower and reflects to others the very image of Christ. When we are abiding in Christ and Christ's words are abiding in us and we're praying and we're receiving answers to our prayer, other people see us and they give glory to God. When we are abiding in Christ, you can't abide in Christ selfishly. When you're abiding in Christ, it's for the honor and glory of God. It says you're knit together with God. You're dependent upon God. You're devoted to Christ and His words. And you're in unity with Him, harmony with Him. And the result is that others see and glorify God. And God is glorified just as He sees us praying according to His will. So He's glorified just from the outset, but He's also glorified when others respond and give Him glory because of the life that we're living. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So the outward manifestation of our abiding in Christ and His words abiding in us will be visible to other people and they will give the Father glory. So the Father is glorified through answered prayer. Letter A, we see that. Roman numeral 1, the Father is glorified. Letter A, through answered prayer. Let's consider, you may have to turn back one page to the left as you go to John 14, verses 13 and 14. It says these words, And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. All right. This is one of those, these are those verses that people say, well, as long as I just put and pray in Jesus' name on the end of my prayer, if I tack that on, I get what I want. Well, you only have to do that once and don't get what you want. You think, wait a second. But oftentimes there's this, teaching as if, well, just pray in Jesus' name and you get what you want. Well, ultimately, that doesn't bring God honor and glory. So let's consider, what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Does it just mean that you tack Jesus' name on the end of the prayer and we're good? Or does it mean something else? Consider what a name means to the Jewish man. When you gave a name spoke of not just the word of their name, it spoke of their character and reputation. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray with the heart and nature of Christ to the glory of the Father. It is to pray in harmony with God's will, not in opposition to it. This means that this type of prayer will lack selfish motives, pride of self-glory, or even a sense of entitlement, while it will be characterized by Spirit-led worship of the Father. Now, when we go before the Father, can we expect Him to do things when we pray according to His will? Yes, but it's not because I deserve it. That's the spirit of entitlement, is a spirit of I deserve it. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy. God, in His grace, unmerited favor, answers our prayer according to His will. In a Greek lexicon, in reference to this word name, the name of the person can only be used when we seek to enforce His will and further His interests. When the name of a person is used, we are to only be seeking to enforce that person's will and that person's interests. So when we use the name of Christ in our prayer, it's to be enforcing, seeking to enforce His will and His interests, not ours. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not for us, although we are blessed by it. But praying in Jesus' name is for glory to God, not for glory to self. So put it this way, to use an authoritative name with a motive contrary to the will and nature of the name is to act in opposition, seeking only selfish intent. If I pray in Jesus' name with my own motives, selfish motives, I'm in opposition to His will. I'm in opposition to His name. I'm not praying in His name, even though I tack on Jesus at the end of it or wherever. I pray in Jesus' name and I want this to happen. I want this to happen. I want to become a millionaire and I want, you know. God isn't opposing people who are millionaires, is He? But is His will for you to be a millionaire? And then you're praying for that? You know, we need to understand, what is God's will? What is Jesus' will? Consider Christ. A couple examples of answered prayer bringing glory to God. You see, Jesus in John 11, Lazarus dies. And in verse 40, Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe," He says this to Martha, "said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God?" If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And then you skip down to verse 45. After Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth," He prays to the Father. We see that in verse, let's read 41, 41 and 42. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I know that Thou hearest Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me.'" Christ's prayer was for God to be, the Father to be glorified. And he prayed out loud so that others would see what's happening, would see his prayer, and in turn respond, not by saying, "Yay, Jesus," but by, "Praise God." They would see deity in Christ, if you will. So after he cries out, "Lazarus, come forth," Lazarus comes out. Said, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. They believed on him in the fact that there was something different about him. They believed on him as deity. Okay. Now, we're not looking to. There is a difference, obviously, if we're to pray. Yes, we see Jesus' humanity. But this did show his deity and did give honor and glory to God the Father, as glory was given to Christ here. We see that. We understand that. But now let's turn into the Old Testament, into 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we see we see Elijah on Mount Carmel. I love this passage of Scripture as there's a challenge. The 400 prophets of Baal and then Elijah. Seems outnumbered. Well, being on God's side, you're on the side of victory. What happens when God answered his prayer? Verses 38 through 41. Well, verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" answer to prayer brings honor and glory to God. And you could read on there. In both these situations, the people who witnessed the answer to prayer responded by glorifying God. What happens when you pray and you Lord answers your prayer? Somebody gets saved, somebody gets healed, and we say, praise the Lord. We're giving God honor and glory because He answered our prayer. The challenge for us is to be able to learn to live lives of consistent answered prayer that only comes when we abide in Christ and His Word abides in us. When God consistently answers prayer, keep in mind that He uses weak, fallible people who are reflecting Christ to display God's almighty power and His holiness. He uses weak vessels. He uses fallible vessels. He uses sinful vessels. He uses us to display His glory, to display His infinite power and His infinite holiness. That's what God uses. Now consider, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I'd ask you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It's important for us to see this. We'll look at more than just this one verse here in this passage. But consider God using weak vessels. Starting in verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We'll come back to this verse. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. What's happening? Through trial, through tribulation, through difficulty, through persecution and distress and peril, death is working in the life of the believer, whether it's true physical death or death to self. And in the process, Christ is being made manifest, is coming to life, is being seen, and is working life in the other, in those who see. God is being honored and glorified as life is being worked in their lives through the witness, through the transformation of the believer, through the sanctification process of the believer as they are being conformed in the image of God's Son. God is being glorified. So consider real quick here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, but we have this, if you will, precious treasure. It's rich, invaluable truth of the gospel. We have this precious treasure in earthen vessels. An earthen vessel, a clay pot. It's weak, frail. Why? That the excellency, the exceeding greatness of the miraculous power may be of God and not of us. Look at it this way. But we, as frail vessels, have this precious treasure of the rich, invaluable truth of the gospel, so that the exceeding greatness of the miraculous power may be attributed to God and not to us. What happens? When there is amazing power inside a frail vessel, that frail vessel can't claim that that power is of itself. It's obvious that the frail vessel should not be given glory for that supernatural, that amazing treasure. For God, why does He use weak, frail vessels. Because we have no reason to receive glory. He has every reason to receive glory. The Father is glorified through answered prayer, letter A, but also through the very act of the prayer, letter B, through the act of prayer. What do we mean? Well, prayer very simply is worship. Prayer very simply is worship. It is a means by which we glorify God. Every prayer should be to the glory of God. Every prayer should be to the glory of God. Do we realize that? Every single prayer should be to the glory of God. Even when we sit down to thank God for our meal, we should be giving Him glory because He's provided for us. Every prayer should be to the glory of God. If we walk away with nothing else from this message, let us walk away emphasizing in every prayer to be praying to the glory of God. First Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do should be to the glory of God, especially when we pray. Because prayer is worship. We're worshiping God. We're going before the God of all grace. We're going before the omnipotent, the almighty God who can do things, who is righteous and holy. We're going before Him. And we're asking Him for help. Shouldn't we be glorifying Him in the process of asking Him to help us? Shouldn't we? So, question, how different would your prayer look if your main purpose for going before the Lord was to glorify His holy name? This is a soul-searching question. I ask myself, how different would my prayers look if I pray with the sole focus of bringing glory to God? Maybe you're already doing that, so your prayers wouldn't change. But if you're not doing that, change. Because God deserves glory. He deserves to be lifted up, to be magnified, to be worshipped, doesn't He? And if we're going before Him to ask from Him, shouldn't we be saying something of appreciation to Him? I want, I want, I want, I want. You knucklehead? What? But don't we pray that way sometimes? You don't use those words, obviously, right? But we pray, give me, give me, give me, with no appreciation for the God to whom we're going before. So as you see there in your notes, you see the acronym PRAY. P, praise. Praise the Lord for His greatness. R, repent. It's a confession of sin against God's holiness. A, ask. Ask according to the will of God. Why? Yield. Yield in submission to the Father's will. Praise God. Repent of sin. Ask according to His will. Yield to His will. It's a simple way of praying, but it's an effective way of praying. That's prayer. That's prayer. It's not too difficult for us to see how we glorify God when we praise Him. It's not too difficult to see how we glorify God when we repent and yield to Him. Right? But do we think about glorifying God in how we ask? You ever think about when you go before the Lord asking for something that we need to be glorifying Him in what we ask for? How we ask for it? So another question. Are you glorifying God in the way that you're making requests when you pray? Are you glorifying God when you ask in prayer? So how do you know if you are? Well, more questions. Number one, is my prayer a selfish prayer? James 4:3. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, because you seek to consume it upon your own lusts. There's a selfish prayer. If my prayer is selfish, I'm not giving God glory. Okay. Number two, are you unrepentant in prayer? God has convicted you of sin, yet you say, don't need to deal with that. I'm just fine. And I go before the Lord in prayer. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. To regard is to recognize and cherish sin. If I recognize and cherish my sin and go before the Lord, I'm recognizing it, that it is sin, and I'm cherishing it, so I'm enjoying, I'm loving my sin, and God's saying, this is wrong. So He's communicating to me, and then I'm not listening to what He's saying, but yet then I go and communicate to Him, and I expect Him to listen to what I say. Seems kind of odd. That's not glorifying God when we ask. How about number three? Is it a faithless prayer? Matthew 21, verse 22, and all these things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. How often are we asking without faith? Almost to the degree of, saying, Lord, I know You can do, but I don't think You'll do. But I'll ask anyways. What have we got to lose? It's a gamble. Right. That's not a God-honoring prayer. Number four, is it a prideful prayer? Proverbs 28, verse 9, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. If I turn down the sound of the Word of God, if I turn off the Word of God, if I stop listening to it, yet go to God in prayer, asking, that prayer is an abomination to God. God says so. That's not a prayer that brings honor and glory to God. As we see in James chapter 4, or James chapter 1, I should say. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Is our prayer selfish? Are we unrepentant in our prayer? Is it a faithless prayer? Is it a prideful prayer? Those prayers don't bring honor and glory to God. We need to be asking in such a way as we're seeking God's glory. As we're praying in Jesus' name, we need to be praying in harmony with His will, not in opposition to His will. That is how we pray, bring glory to God. If we ever expect to be fruitful in our prayer lives, we must understand that our purpose in prayer should be to glorify the Father. Now consider with me quickly, let's understand the heart of God. Proverbs 15:8, you see it there in your verse, you see the second part of it, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The prayer of the upright one. The prayer of the upright in heart, God loves to hear. God enjoys. It's pleasurable for Him to hear the one who prays with an upright heart. Does God desire to hear you pray? He's commanded you to pray. But He desires you to pray biblically, God's way, His way. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, if you will, to give you a hopeful or desired future. What's God's heart? What does God desire? God wants to give. God wants to give blessing upon blessing. We must come to Him His way. If we don't come to God God's way, as James says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So if you will, if you want to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29, the context around this verse 11, it gives us some good insight. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Chapter 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Then he says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, you're going to pray, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. The word hearken in the Bible, look at me a second. The word hearken speaks of putting feet to the ear. You listen in order to do. The word hearken speaks of this word picture, feet to the ear. Okay. He says, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, and ye shall search for me with all your hearts. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I have caused you to be carried away captive. What's the heart of God? Now, he's speaking directly to the Jewish people, but this is, God is consistent. This is his heart. He says, when you return to me, when you come and do things my way, I will listen. That's God's heart to us. So as we respond to God, as we respond to Him with a heart of gratitude, go before your Heavenly Father and worship Him in how you ask from Him your desires. See how things change. And you go before the Lord, ask in such a way that glorifies His name. So the bulk of our time is spent looking at the Father as being glorified. The end of this verse, it says, so shall ye be my disciples. The second point here, and it's very short, real quick. True discipleship is verified. The Father is glorified, but true discipleship is verified. The second result is that true discipleship is verified. What do I mean there? It's verified or clearly proven, not just for the Father, but for others. This then brings more honor and glory to the Father. Because there is a testimony that is an influence to those around you. Again, let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works, but give your Father glory which is in heaven. That is what happens when we are abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in us and we're receiving answered prayer. That's giving God honor and glory, but as well, people will see the fact that there is change. I'm being transformed in the image of God's Son. John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. What does a life of consistent answered prayer imply based upon this verse? That the person who receives the answered prayer consistently is abiding in Christ and the Word of God is abiding in them. The greatest aspect of fruitfulness in prayer is answered prayer. The greatest result is that God would be glorified. When you pray, do you pray to the glory of God? Do you pray desiring for Him to be lifted up? Are you living a life that proves that you are a true disciple of God? So what's my next step? What's my next step? What am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Like I said before, I pray that as you walk away from here, you remember, if nothing else, that every single prayer must be to the glory of God. Are you praying to the glory of God? If you are, praise God, continue. If you're not, start. Do it today. And ask yourself as you go through and pray, is this to the glory of God or is this to the glory of self? What am I doing when I pray? How am I praying? Selfishly or selflessly? To self-glory or to God's glory? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your amazing grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we get to pray. Lord, it is our desire that you would be pleased. We want you to be honored. Lord, we want to pray according to your will. Not our will, but your will, Lord. We want your will to be accomplished. So help us, Lord, to bring our will in line with your will. Help us to submit. Lord, help us to pray, seeking to give you glory. Lord, I know that our prayers will change as we focus on just giving you glory. It will not negate our asking. I dare say it'll encourage our asking to your glory. We'll rejoice as we see prayers answered according to your will. Oh God, please help us. We're going to trust you to do just that. We thank you for the answered prayer that's going to come as we submit, as we seek to glorify you, as we abide in you and your words abide in us. Trusting you, Lord, that you're true to your word. And you will bring about answered prayer. And we can give you great praise for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.